I always, you know, when I pray, oh gosh, I always want to be open to what the Spirit may want to do. It becomes really easy to just fall into the 1-2-3s of Sunday morning. And I think the preaching of the word is important. I think we have to learn. I think we have to just chew on it and understand it and seek God about it. When you read your Bible, do you seek God while you're reading your Bible to see what he wants to say to you through that? Up to me one time, is this a Pentecostal church? I was sitting in the back, and he knew it was. And I just looked at him, and he said, well, then where's all the prophecies? Where's all, well, they're here today. We don't make them happen, okay? Where's all the tongues? Well, we don't make that happen either. Amen. We do it when the Spirit moves it to happen. And I think probably there's many times that he wants it to happen, probably that we don't listen or we don't hear. But I'm just excited that God moved today in here. Please don't be discouraged if you're one that was prayed for that didn't receive the gift. There could be something blocking it, whatever, you know. Just take this week, if you would, please. Take this week, those of you that received it, say that one word over and over and over and over and over. Get sick of it, okay? Those of you who didn't receive, spend all week thanking God that he's going to give you that, okay?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. I'll try to preach this as fast as I can, okay? I'm lying. I'm just going to preach it as far as God's going to have me preach it. I just want to be doing what God wants us to do. I know some people kind of wonder how you can get up here and preach like this, but it can very easily fall into a rut, I'm sorry, of just preaching, closing in song, saying, see ya, come eat cookies. Have some treats with us. But I'd rather have the treats that the Holy Spirit brings. All right? I'm sure that you've all heard, hopefully, of what's going on in Asbury, Kentucky. I believe it is. Have you? Tremendous revival going on. I don't know how many hours.
11
days today. February 8th, they went to chapel and it just exploded and it hasn't stopped since.
They canceled all the classes.
I don't ever want to imitate, but I want to be open, okay? And I know that it all started just because one guy, a chosen vessel, obviously, confessed his sin. And he was obedient. And it was, I wish I could have been there. I was in Grand Rapids the night that happened there years ago. And I know that it was like a blanket fell on the whole sanctuary. And it was just like the love of God, the power of God, the presence of God was just everywhere. And I would imagine it had to be something like that there. But I mean, to the degree, these people aren't even going home. Well, eventually I suppose they have to. But, what was that? Yeah, more come. It's just packed. If you look up on YouTube, Asbury Revival, it's a Wesleyan church. Third time this happened there. Third time. I went in Coopersville for the first time.
Amen.
but I won't imitate. But the presence of God is so thick up here. If you know what I mean, it's just, if I thought for 1 minute I was going to come out here and it was going to be a normal Sunday, the presence of God has made that different already. And how I can hardly sing the songs. But I want you to be that hungry. Make the little bit of hunger that I have look like nothing. Okay? Understand what I'm trying to say? Revival doesn't start here, it starts here. You know what I mean? It starts in hungry people. And it's sustained through hungry people. And usually it's man that gets it stopped by going off the rails somewhere. But in the meantime, during the revival, people get healed, people get set free. People get baptized in the Holy Spirit. People just, they're changed forever. I want the kind of church that people walk in and they walk out changed. Okay? Amen? Or that they walk in and they say, ooh, what? Something different in here. Because even if you aren't saved, you can feel the presence of God. I'm going to try to preach this, okay? Is that okay?
Okay.
Smile at me so I can at least feel like maybe you want to hear some preaching at 11:25. We might go past 11:30 today, okay? Okay. Do you want me to start like it says on my paper here?
Sure.
Good morning.
Good morning.
But thank you for coming this morning. Thank you online. Did we record all of that? Yeah, well, thank you for joining us online. It's good to have everyone here this morning. Let's start with our Bible declaration. We have to do that every Sunday, you know that? Come on, so stand to your feet. You know, Pastor Josh, now you got me saying it. Stand to your feet. What would you stand to if it wasn't your feet? Okay. Are you ready? Are you ready? Okay. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. Today I will be taught the Word of God. I'll boldly confess. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I'm about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, let's go. Is that Jesus? Okay. As you know, we're in a series called Bible Basics 101, of which this is part 7, okay? And this will be the last sermon in this series, all right? The title of the message today is The Fight of Faith, all right? Say that with me. The Fight of Faith. One more time. The Fight of Faith. How many of you know this morning that the world system, if you will, is making every effort that it can to discredit Christianity? Amen? And its message for the people today. Between the liberal media's message and racism being the topic of the day, all right, and the false narrative of believers being haters, we're lovers, not haters. Amen? Haters of all things. We really have our hands full. We really do, being Christians. And the truth is, our faith is being tested in these last days. I really believe that. But in all of the trying and testing, of our faith, God's calling on our lives hasn't changed. Amen? It hasn't changed. God is still calling us, and God is still equipping us. That's one thing you can be sure of. If he calls you for something, he's going to equip you for that very thing. And what's really quite amazing is this, all right? That the same old world systems that are attacking believers today are the same old world systems that were attacking the believers in the biblical days. Let me show you what I mean. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians 11, verse 22. All right? You can go slow. Are you there? I'm glad you're there. We find the Apostle Paul here pleading his case and, in essence, fighting for his faith. He says this in verse 22. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequently, in deaths often. From the Jews 5 times I received 40 stripes minus one. I'd say Paul went through it, wouldn't you? All right. Let's pray for this sermon. Heavenly Father, I just pray, Lord, that as we get going here, Lord God, I pray that you would just take my words and just have them come out the way you would have them come out. Let the words touch people's lives. Let me say the exact word that would touch a person's life. And may each one of us be encouraged. God, give me favor, first of all, with you. And God, give me favor with the people. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And amen. I heard a preacher on TV make this statement one night, all right? It was a statement about faith, and it really got my attention. In other words, it was like my spirit shuddered. Do you know what I'm talking about? And I instantly understood that what I had just heard was something that wasn't biblically correct or doctrinally sound. It just wasn't right, and I could discern it in my spirit. After reading the Bible to any degree, you catch things that people say. All right? The preacher made this statement. If the Apostle Paul had had enough faith, he wouldn't have had to go through all the trouble he went through. Let me say that again. If the Apostle Paul had had enough faith, he wouldn't have had to go through all the trouble that he went through. I'm sorry, but I would say that Paul exemplified the kind of faith that I would want to be evident in my life. Amen? Can't hear you. Amen? The truth is, Paul's troubles weren't a lack of faith. Paul's troubles were a result of faith. Come on. Paul's troubles weren't a lack of faith. Paul's troubles were as a result of faith. Amen? Amen. But that preacher's statement, as strange as it sounded, made me think about my own faith, as well as the faith of others. And what I found is that some people can get the wrong idea about having faith and living in faith. Faith is more than necessary, amen? We have to have faith. In fact, the Bible says that we've been given a certain allotment of faith right when we start out, okay? But the people that get the wrong idea of faith, they think, as this preacher did, or at least how he made it sound like he did, that if a person walks in faith, if a person works all things out in faith, and if a person responds in faith, that somehow, some way, that means their faith will enable them to escape all, say all the adversities in life. How's that working for you? I'm sorry, that just isn't true. Okay, it's not true. At least in my experience, and I dare say it's in the Apostle Paul's experience as well. When we read through the New Testament, we find that early church adherents and the apostles faced many adversities. And from my experience, the more serious I get about seeking Jesus, the more serious the enemy gets about stopping me from seeking Jesus. Come on. What about, I'm going to pray today. Starting tomorrow at 7 o'clock, I'm going to get up and pray, and you don't get up till 9. Is that your fault? I don't know. How many times have you said you're going to do, but something gets in the way? It always seems to get in the way. The enemy loves to get in your way. And the more serious I get about sharing Jesus, especially, the more serious the enemy gets about stopping me from sharing Jesus. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Okay, all right. I've learned through experience that beyond a shadow of a doubt, we serve a good God. Amen? No doubt. We serve a good God. I mean, it certainly wasn't God who planned all the persecutions and the oppressions that the early church went through. You can't say that. And it hasn't been God who authored all the things that you are going through, maybe even today. Join me in this. God is good. All the time. And all the time. To who? To me. You should praise him this morning. If you're having a bad day, he's still good. Amen. If people are coming against you, he's still good. If your world is caving in, God is still good. If there's one thing you can count on in this life, is that God is a good God. Amen. It's the devil, all right? It's the devil. It is. It's the devil. He's the one who painstakingly plans the attacks in order to stop the preaching and the reaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I want you to know, he's still at work today. He hasn't stopped, all right? He's there to prevent people from stepping into the preconceived plan that God has for their life and for their future. If you're with me this morning, shout amen. 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 The early church didn't have it easy. But for some reason, there is something strangely encouraging about studying the strategies, if you will, of the early church and finding out about the faith that they fostered in order to counter the attacks of the enemy. Why? Listen now. Because regardless of what it was that the enemy tried to throw against the early church, I'm going to tell you this morning, he failed miserably, and he was unsuccessful in stopping them. Come on. Whatever was thrown at them, whatever they went through, whatever it was that came against them, say whatever. Because they had faith, they were unconquerable. Come on. Because they had faith, they were unconquerable. Because they had faith, they were uncontrollable by the enemy. And because they had faith, their hunger for God and his word was unquenchable, no matter what they went through. Amen. And yes, the devil failed miserably. Maybe that's a good thing to put on my headstone if I happen to die before Jesus comes. The devil failed. But in the same way, because you have faith, whatever you may be facing or going through even today, and whatever the enemy is throwing at you to disrupt your life, doesn't have to succeed. Why? Because you have faith. Come on. You have faith. Let me say this. If Paul didn't have enough faith, he wouldn't have survived the battles that he did. Amen? Sometimes it's only faith that gets you through some of the things that you go through. Sometimes it's only knowing that God is there. Sometimes it's only knowing that he's a healer. Sometimes it's only knowing that he will restore. Sometimes it's only knowing that he's there by your side. But don't ever get the impression that walking in faith or having enough faith removes you from adversity. Again, if anything, faith can cause you a fight. It can. Faith doesn't remove you from the battles in life. Faith rescues you through the battles in life. Amen? See, that ought to make you shout. I'm just going to say that again. Faith, that faith that God has given you. Amen? The faith, the allotted portion of faith that you have because God is who God is and He's a good God. Faith doesn't remove you from the battles in life. No, faith rescues you through the battles in life. And even Jesus said this, and I know everybody always cites this scripture when they want to talk about this kind of thing, but John 16:33, and this is out of the Amplified Bible. Jesus is speaking here, and He says, I have told you these things, so that in Me you may have perfect peace and confidence. In the world you have tribulation and trials and distress and frustration. But be of good cheer. Take courage. Be confident, certain, undaunted. Why? For I have overcome the world. I have deprived it of power to harm you and have conquered it for you. Wow. That's pretty powerful. He has conquered it for us. Hear me. Jesus deprived the world of its power so that you and I could stand in faith in the evil hour. You know, let's take a closer look at what's being said in this verse, okay? A closer look. How many of you know I like to take closer looks? Okay. The word tribulation that's used in this passage is the Greek word, are you ready for this one? Thlipsis. No, she didn't. Okay. Thlipsis. Thlipsis. And that is really how you pronounce it. It's a word that describes situations that are so difficult that it causes someone to feel stressed or squeezed, pressured, or even crushed. Have you ever felt that way? Have you ever felt that way when things are going on around you? You just feel crushed? If anything more comes your way, you're going to get crushed? It can also be translated as distress or affliction. Thlipsis can even be translated as trouble. But it always indicates a level of intensity that is almost unbearable. All right? Almost unbearable. But after Jesus had said that, and the people of the day understood all of the different possibilities of what I just told you, okay? And he says, and I got to tell you this, you can't avoid it. That's the way it's going to come. He makes this statement, kind of odd, he says, but be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. Right. How in the world am I ever going to be of good cheer? Really, in the middle of the mess, I'm supposed to be happy about it? How do we do that? Listen. The two words good and cheer are from a single Greek word, which literally means to be courageous. To be courageous. Oftentimes it's translated as fear not, but the best rendering of it is to take heart. Okay, to take heart. It's a word that would be spoken to strengthen someone who's facing some kind of a hardship or a difficult situation. Like many of us could be facing today, right now, as we sit here. You know, you can look at the person next to you and think, boy, they have the perfect life. They just don't go through anything. And they could be going through the most hellish journey. But you see them raising their hands and praising God. They've just understood that that's their way out. Okay? The only difference is they've understood that praising and worshiping God is their way out of their trouble. You may think that, boy, Jack, he can give words, you know, but you don't know what's going on in Jack's life. You don't know what's going on in Jeff's life. You don't know what's going on in Pastor Josh's life. It may look great on the outside, but they could be just in turmoil. Sorry, I wasn't going to go off for my notes. Jesus was literally saying that our reaction to adversity should be this. In this world, you will go through some distressing times, but take heart. Be courageous. Then He made this statement for even further instruction and encouragement, I guess, and I'm sure it was. He says, I have overcome the world. How many are happy this morning that Jesus has overcome the world? Amen. Amen. Oh, man, you can clap for Him. Hallelujah. Amen. Yeah. Yeah, he's overcome the world. The word overcome is the Greek word nikos, which is also the word for victory, okay? He's had victory over the world. But the grammar that's used in the statement is what's interesting. It doesn't imply just a single victory that you may have experienced in the past, okay? No, nikos speaks as to a continuous, abiding victory, a victory that doesn't disappear. So the idea that this Greek word presents to us is one of Jesus saying this to you and I. He says, I have overcome the world in the past. I am still overcoming the world in the present. Come on. And I will always be overcoming the world in the future. Amen. Glory to God. It's not a one-time thing he did for us. Amen? Amen. Oh, glory to God. Now that's the good news that faith can bring. That's the good news. One more definition, is that all right? I won't read them all. The word world in the phrase, I have overcome the world, is the Greek word cosmos, a word that's used to paint a picture of the arena where Satan attempts to initiate his influence, okay? And it also describes all human systems of the world. It's a word that Paul uses in 2 Corinthians 4:4 when he refers to Satan as the god of this world or the god of this cosmos. But please understand what that statement is saying, all right? Satan is not the lord of this world. Hear me, please. Because of the word cosmos, he operates through the human systems that are in the world. And these systems are what he uses to attack the church and his people, who are really the church. The building isn't anything, it's the believers. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. When you and I think of all the things that came against the Apostle Paul, we can see that most of the attacks came through either the world system of government. Now think about what he went through. The beatings. Come on. It was either the world systems of government or through religion. That's where all his trouble came from. These things were the main arenas that Satan used in his efforts to stop Paul's ministry and his life. But Paul learned the same thing. Say the same thing. Paul learned the same thing that we have to learn, and that's this, to take heart and never give up. Amen? Never give up. Say, I'll never give up. Say it like you mean it. I will never give up. Paul overcame everything. Say everything.
Everything.
I have to get you involved here. He overcame everything that Satan tried to assail him with or attack him with. Everything. In the end of his life, he was victorious. Come on, people. He had won the race, all right? He had finished the race. The devil simply wasn't able to stop this man who was determined to finish his assignment from heaven no matter what happened. Paul was so committed to fulfilling his God-given call that he wouldn't let anything stop him. And the good bad news is, Satan still attacks you and I today. All right? Maybe you're at work or when you come home, God forbid, you know. Maybe when you're with your family or you're with your friends, maybe he attacks you in your finances or tries to lie to you in your physical challenges. Maybe his exact methods have changed, but his motivation hasn't. All right? Maybe the way he does it's changed, but why he doesn't hasn't. The way he attacks is still through the world systems. All of us here are being attacked through our government right now. And I am sure that there are religions that would attack what we believe too, and I know there is. The mode of stress is different, but the effects of the stress are the same, okay? The effects are the same. I don't know what it is that you could be facing today that is overpowering or overwhelming in your life, or that's overwhelming to your faith. Is it sickness? You know, it could be. Is it sorrow? Is it emotional pain, or is it, you know, a financial strain? What exactly is it that's stressing you and bringing you to the point of breaking you? I don't think there can be one person sitting in the pews today that can say, unless you're very young, that can say that you haven't gone through this kind of pressure. You can't say that you haven't been pressured to the point and some past the point of breaking. And what you're going through may not be the same as Paul. You didn't go through 49 or 39 lashes. It's not the same thing he went through, but the intended destination of those things is the same. All right? And that is to give up, to let your faith falter. But the questions this morning, yes? The questions this morning are this. When that happens, maybe it's happening right now, but when that happens, how are you going to respond? And how are you going to rebound? And if you've been knocked down, are you going to stay down? I've seen many people who've been knocked down stay down. Or like the Apostle Paul, are you going to get up and brush off the dirt and grab a hold of the power of God? Don't blame God. I know no one here could do that. I know no one here could say, God, I can't believe you did that to me. That isn't funny, God. But grab a hold of the power of God and your faith in God and begin to fight your way forward again. You know, I think about it, and I've said this a lot of times. You can tell me you don't like spiritual warfare all you want, but you're in spiritual warfare. Okay? And in fact, you're probably in the place where he wants you in that spiritual warfare, saying, I'm not going to do any warfare. You may not want it, you may not like it, but it's there. Never forget that Jesus said, in this world, you'll go through some really discouraging times and through some really bad times. And your faith is what you need to get through it. It isn't your lack of faith that made you go through it. But his instructions to us is to take heart and be courageous, okay? Take heart and be courageous. What's courageous? Getting back up. Amen? Getting back up and trying again. Getting back up knowing that you probably will fall again, but you're getting back up. Amen? Because we have a good God who always restores us if we get back up. If we just exemplify our faith and get back up. But he said to you and I, take heart and be courageous, for I have overcome the world in the past. Come on, this should get you really excited. For I have overcome the world in the past. I am still overcoming the world in the present, and I will always be overcoming the world in the future. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. You can do all things through Christ who sets you free. Glory. I really believe you'll make the choice to get up, brush off the dirt, just like Paul did, okay? Tell your mind and emotions and your heart to be silent. And submit yourselves to the Word of God. And to these words of Jesus. I believe that the Holy Spirit will begin to fill you with this fresh strength, fresh faith, come on, fresh courage, so you can come through that difficult situation that you are going through, that situation that there is no way out that you can see. Absolutely no way out. Discouraging. Jesus says, I got something for your discouragement. It's courage and encouragement. And I think you can come out of this thing that you're going through with your faith still intact. Paul had already made up his mind, and he wasn't going to stop until his mission was complete. And the mission that you and I have today, above anything else, okay? One thing is, let me say what I said here, okay? He refused to let bad experiences to become a permanent barricaded roadblock in his ministry and hijack his faith. He just plain refused. You have to be people. We have to refuse and say no. No, God's not a bad God. No, God didn't do that to me. I'm sorry. God is a good God. God heals me. God prospers me. Come on. God provides for me. What did you sing today? He does all those things. And then you can go and turn around and say, oh, God, come on. Yes, he does. Paul pushed all the opposition out of the way. He got up and he went on. He overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of his testimony. We're going to overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony if we stand strong and fight for our faith. Again, there's people, Paul addressed it. He talked about your faith being shipwrecked. Okay? I don't want my faith to be shipwrecked. That means it didn't make it. But that's your choice. That's our individual choices. Amen? Amen? You know, I was telling Jack, we weren't talking about what he was going to prophesy at the beginning of the service, okay? Please don't think that. I'm stuck between what I'm feeling in my heart, in my spirit, what I'm hoping, and this deep soulish desire. Is it one or is it the other? Is it just a deep soulish desire of mine, or is it time that God is going to do something? Not that he doesn't do anything, but pour out his spirit on this church. I don't want what the God in Asbury. That's for Asbury. I want what God wants for Coopersville. But I don't think he's any respecter of persons. And I would encourage you to look online, especially right now, because it's so pure, so clean, it's like no man has put his hand on this revival yet and caused it to go amok. And again, please just understand, I would never want to imitate. But I want God to move. And I want you to, I want you to experience a genuine move of God. Where you walk through these doors and you just get slammed with the presence of God. Why would he not do that? Why would he not do that? Do me a favor and ask him that in your prayers this week. Why would you not do that? Do that. Let's see healings. Let's see deliverances. Let's see people set free. Let's see people walk off the street bound and walk out free. Revival is about us to begin with, but it doesn't stay about us very long. Once we get revived, revival is about reaching the people. Amen? How many of you want that? How many of you want that? How many of you would walk out of here, would welcome the walking out of here with just a zealousness in you that the first person that you met was going to hear about Jesus? And you didn't care if they thought that they thought you were crazy. Maybe God would touch them just by you sharing with them. God can do some pretty awesome things. Anyway. So join me in prayer.